You know, it's strange because in that platoon, there are roughly 48 soldiers. And Private Miller committed suicide. I found out later he wrote poems. I wrote poetry. And then there were two others. So there's at least four. The platoon leader was an English major from West Point. So I used to borrow books like Marquez and stuff like that out of his footlocker. You know, so he had a sort of lending library, basically, on the road. And when we were in Baghdad at one point, this is still early on in the war, 2003 to 2004 is when we were there. And I remember there was a large air base north of Baghdad, and when we went to this chow hall, a huge circus tent with hundreds of soldiers could go in there, and before you walked in, there was an area where you could wash your hands in this basin. You turn to go through these double doors, and on the double doors, I remember seeing a piece of paper taped up on the door that said, Wednesday night, open mic poetry night. You know, and I never got to go there, because we were always doing stuff and going out the wire and stuff, but that really shattered a lot of my preconceptions, too.
You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Air Schooner presents its reading series, produced by Scott Winter, with production assistance by Catherine Larson and Franny Sprouls.
You're listening to the Air Schooner reading series. I'm your host, Adrienne Kesters. Today you'll be listening to soldier poet Brian Turner. Turner earned his MFA at the University of Oregon before serving 7 years in the U.S. Army. He was deployed in Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1999 and 2000, and was an infantry team leader in the Iraq War beginning in November 2003. His poetry has been published in a variety of journals, such as the Virginia Quarterly Review, and featured in anthologies such as Voices in Wartime, the Anthology. He has written two poetry collections, Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise. Turner transports listeners to scenes in Arkansas and the Middle East in these first four poems, White Phosphorus, Observation Post No. 71, In the Tanamore Oven, and The Baghdad Zoo.
White Phosphorus. When Larry Jr. nails a catfish to the trunk of a black tupelo, the summer tanagers and dark-eyed juncos pause in their singing to the afternoon. And it isn't the hammer or the nail driving it in. It's that low vowel of pain stretching out over the Arkansas River and into the sway of pines, a sound that travels along Dollar Way Road and on into town, where Ray and Suzanne have forgotten how to talk with one another, steam curling over their coffee at the diner. Across the street, the old man Jackson loses his train of thought, straining to recall the year 1928, the shade tree where Uncle Harold was buried after the gas of the Argonne Forest finally took him down. And it's like this in International Paper and at the county courthouse. It's like this in the back parking lot at the Duck Inn's Chateau Lounge, where Marlene is finally broken down, her forehead on the steering wheel. Even in the soybean fields and poultry farms outside of town, this pause, this quiet recognition, here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, where it's made. In the tanner oven, stitched into the gutted belly of the calf, a fat young lamb, dressed and cleaned, its organs removed from the cave of bone. And within the lamb, a stuffed goose. And in the goose's belly, a mortar round. And within the mortar round, a stuffed hen. And in the hen's belly, a grenade. And within the grenade, a stuffed thrush. In the thrush, a 50-caliber bullet. In the 50-caliber bullet, seasoned with murry, oil, and thyme, a wedding ring. Ah, love, when you undo the stitches, take your time. I have love letters stuffed inside of me, these tiny bodies made by their own labored breathing. Hans Blix said, "Is the world safer?" No, it's not safer in Iraq. The Baghdad Zoo. An Iraqi northern brown bear mauled a man on a street corner, dragging him down an alley as shocked onlookers shouted and threw stones. Tanks rolled their heavy tracks past the museum and up to the Ministry of Oil. A gunner watched a lion chase down a horse. Eaten down to their skeletons, the giraffes looked prehistoric, unreal, their necks too fragile, too graceful for the 21st century. Dalmatian pelicans and marbled teals flew over, frightened by the rotor wash of Black Hawk helicopters touching down. One baboon escaped the city limits. It was found wandering in the desert, confused by the wind, the blowing sands of the Barshan Dunes. Observation post number 71. Owls rest in the vines of wild grapes. Eucalyptus trees shimmer. And from the minaret, a voice. Each life has its moment. The sunflowers lift their faces toward dawn as milk cows bellow in a field of trash. I have seen him in the shadows. I have watched him in the circle of light my rifle brings to me. His song hums in the wings of sandflies. My mind has become very clear.
Turner's next poem, Insignia, deals with the issue of sexual assault in the military. He wrote it after reading in a news story that 1 in 3 female soldiers will experience sexual assault during her tour of service.
The poem is called Insignia. She hides under a deuce and a half this time, sleeping on a roll of foam draped in mosquito netting. Sandflies hover throughout the night. She sleeps under vehicle exhaust and heat, dreaming of mortars buried beside her, 3 stripes painted on each cold tube, a rocker of yellow hung below. It's you she's dreaming of, Sergeant. She'll dream of you for years to come, if she makes it out of this country alive, which she probably will. You will be the fire and the hovering breath, not the sniper, not the bomber in the streets, you. And so I'm here to ask for this one night's reprieve. Let her sleep tonight. Let her sleep. Pause a moment under the gibbous moon. Smoke. The gin your wife sent from New Jersey, colored mint green with food dye disguised in a bottle of mouthwash, take a long swig of it. Take the edge out of your knuckles. Let it blur your vision into a tremor of lights. The explosions in the distance are not your own. These long hours before dawn on the banks of the Tigris River, let her sleep. In her dream, your eyes are pools of rifle oil. You unsheathe the bayonet from its scabbard while she waits. On a mattress of sand and foam there in the motor pool, she waits to kiss bullets into your mouth.
In his poems, Turner also shows the life of soldiers and their experiences while serving. He describes, quote, a world filled with ballistics in the poem 22 Caliber. He lets his experience as a soldier soak through in his reading of Zippo, which is followed by his commentary on the poem. He renders anger and frustration in The Hurt Locker.
This is called 22 Caliber. It's a Saturday. My father out in the garage with a ball-peen hammer, tamping, assembling a zip gun, teaching me to clamp the small diameter pipe to form a smoothbore barrel, bracket and finishing nail as hammer and firing pin. 1981, the Soviets fight in Afghanistan. Magazine racks carry Guns and Ammo, Penthouse, Hustler, Shooting Times, and Country Magazine. It is a world filled with ballistics, armor, lethal flights of small metal rounds, spinning. On the back cover of Soldier of Fortune, an armed Mujahideen lying in the prone on a rocky overlook, the coupon below him promising, buy a bullet, kill a commie. Reload. I pull the hammer back to fire over and over at paper targets with their circles driven inward, an exercise in muscle memory. I am learning how to connect with the small dark silence carried within the center of all things. Zippo. Just to prove his point, Stoltman unscrews the tanker's fuel cap, grinning the way he always does, a cigarette dangling from his lips, a feigned concentration on his forehead, though under tissue and bone, a focus deeper than the prank at work, calculating flash points and fire points, diesel and flame, the necessary heat to ignite his life, the paperwork with his wife's signature sealed by the hard-pressed pen. Stoltman flips open the hinged metal, its polished chrome worn by sweat and grime, his free hand dunked to the wrist in fuel. Soaked and dripping, he pulls it out into the morning chill. And when he strikes the thumb wheel to flint the wick's naphtha, nobody moves. Nobody stops him. Nobody says a word, because we all want to see if Stoltman will burn. Which we did, too. We were little bastards. It seems like we... But it's like we all believed it wouldn't, because he knew it wouldn't. But we didn't know. We weren't sure. So, I don't know. It's a weird moment, watching all of us be evil, I guess. Yeah. Nobody tried to stop him. The Hurt Locker. Nothing but hurt left here. Nothing but bullets and pain and the bled out slumping and all the fucks and goddams and Jesus Christ of the wounded. Nothing left here but the hurt. Believe it when you see it. Believe it when a 12-year-old rolls a grenade into the room or when a sniper punches a hole deep into someone's skull. Believe it when four men step from a taxi cab in Mosul to shower the street in brass and fire. Open the Hurt Locker and see what there is of knives and teeth. Open the Hurt Locker and learn how rough men come hunting for souls.
Turner's last poem for this episode is Autopsy, which visits a mortuary in Missouri. We'll let Turner tell you about what makes this poem special.
And this has four lines from a Woody Guthrie song. I pay $50 every 5 years to be able to have the honor of it. Gladly doing that, just so. It's called Autopsy. Staff Sergeant Garza, the mortuary affairs specialist from Missouri, switches on the music to hear, "There's a long black cloud hanging in the sky, honey." She slices out a Y incision with a scalpel from collarbone to breastplate, from the xiphoid process down the smooth skin of the belly, bringing light into the great cavern of the body, in the deep flesh where she cuts the cords which bind the heart, lifting it in her gloved palms, weighing and measuring the organ. She can't help but imagine how fast it beat when he first kissed Shauna Allen, or how it became heavy with whiskey and what humbled him. What Garza holds in her hands, 34 years of a life, would be given in ash to the earth and sea, if we're lucky, by someone like her, singing low at the chorus. There's a long black cloud hanging in the sky. Weather's gonna break and hell's gonna fly. Baby, sweet thing, darling.
You've been listening to Brian Turner on Air Schooner's reading series. Turner read 9 of his poems, White Phosphorus, In the Tanamore Oven, The Baghdad Zoo, Observation Post No. 71, Insignia, 22 Caliber, Zippo, The Hurt Locker, and Autopsy. His poetry collections include Hear Bullet and Phantom Noise, both published by Alice James Books in the U.S. and Blood Axe Books in the U.K. Turner is the MFA program director at Sierra Nevada College in Nevada. He is featured in the Embedded Poets episode of Air Schooner. I'm Adrienne Kesters. Thanks for listening.
Air Schooner is available on iTunes. Sign up now to subscribe. You'll be the first of your hip friends to get the latest episode, and you can download all past episodes all the way back to the premiere show featuring Nulani Krohor's Irish poetry.
Go to prairieschooner.unl.edu to experience Fusion 4, a collaboration and celebration centered around the theme of feast. Fusion 4 features art by Manisha Gera Paswani and Farah Densoda, essays by Sudeep Sen and Kwame Das, and a whole feast of poetry that you need to chew on for a while. Eat it up at prairieschooner.unl.edu.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner, and produced with research support from James Redd, Ted Wheeler, and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprowls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.